This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you want pure, unfiltered, unadulterated sports, you've come to the right place. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, let's get more on yesterday's disappointing loss for the Bills. He is at our radio.com sister station, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Daryl Ryder joining us in the sports bar. Daryl, how you been?
I'm doing well.
Daryl, I'm looking at the Browns' schedule here. You get Cincinnati twice. The Browns get Arizona, Miami. Is anybody talking about a miracle run here by Cleveland, or is that getting ahead of ourselves?
That's getting ahead of yourself. With the way the Browns have played this season, they shouldn't be thinking about anything but the game they got Thursday night against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have managed to win not one, not two, not three, not four, but five games without Ben Roethlisberger, their franchise quarterback. Why? Coaching and culture. So, listen, the Browns should count their lucky stars that they came out with a win yesterday against the Bills, because they did not play well. They didn't execute well. Their goal line offense was atrocious, and it's a little early to be thinking that the Browns are going to do something that they haven't done in 50 years, and that's roll off 8 straight victories.
It's funny that you mentioned coaching and specifically culture. Culture is a word we hear a lot from Sean McDermott and the Buffalo Bills, and as much as I want to put some stock into what they're trying to build, I also think that talent helps you win. And yesterday, while there wasn't anything really to write home on either sideline from either coach, it did seem like the just a little bit more talent that Cleveland had on their side of the field was enough to get them the W against Buffalo.
Yeah, and it was nice to see that some of that talent was able to come through. Of course, Jarvis Landry had the biggest day on Sunday, set up ultimately the game-winning touchdown with a big 24-yard catch. I thought Kareem Hunt was outstanding in his debut with the Browns. Certainly the playbook was a little limited because they're trying to get him incorporated fully into this offense. In fact, we had a conference call this afternoon with Freddie Kitchens, and he was asked about why Kareem Hunt wasn't in the goal line package. And basically, Kitchens admitted, hey, we just haven't gotten there yet with him. So I anticipate that that's something that's going to be, forthcoming as this thing moves forward. But, two of the Browns' three wins have come against teams with winning records, the Bills and, of course, the first place team within their division, the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, it's got to make it even more confusing what has happened to this Browns team. Give us a sense of what that was like in the stadium yesterday, Daryl, for that epic goal line stand. And I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek by the Buffalo Bills. Hey, do you give more Buffalo credit on that? Or is that just Freddie Kitchens not knowing how to play call when it's first and goal from the one?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to take anything away from the Bills, but when you get 8 cracks from the inside the two and you can't punch it in, you deserve to walk away with no points. So, I think that the Browns won in spite of Freddie Kitchens, not because of him yesterday.
Talk about Odell Beckham for a second with us, Daryl, because we saw Trey White on him most of yesterday, and boy, I could see where he might think that he might be frustrated with the chance or the idea that he isn't putting up the kind of numbers that he's probably accustomed to. But at the same time, right, he had a pretty good corner covering for most of the day, and they were still getting him the ball, although in more limited fashion. He did get his looks in the end zone. I mean, talk about the game that Odell had yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, he's been, I think, a good soldier, if you will. This reputation that he came from the Giants with, that, he wasn't a good teammate or whatever other nonsense they were saying about him, turned out to be pretty false. He's willing to block downfield. He's willing to set up his teammates with, other opportunities in that. I mean, you look at the numbers, 5 catches, 57 yards. The number that's most important to me is he was targeted 12 times. And that's important. That's not happened a lot this year where he's targeted double digits in games. So the fact that they went his direction 12 times, also too inside the five, where he was able to draw a couple of pass interference penalties as well. I mean, that just shows you his value in his ability to not only make plays but to give the offense a fresh set of downs, because he just frustrates opposing cornerbacks so much when you actually do go to him. So I think that that was a positive sign moving forward for the Browns, that Beckham was targeted as much as he was.
We're talking to Darrell Ryder, 92.3, the Fan in Cleveland, as the Browns get the win. Now you get the short week, and you get Pittsburgh coming in. You mentioned they're winning games with Mason Rudolph. So, you know, set us up for Thursday night here. The primetime games have been pretty good here. And Steelers-Browns, that'll have my interest Thursday night, Darrell.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a tough one for the Browns. You know, when Ben Roethlisberger went down, I started putting W's next to those two Steeler games. Then the Steelers started winning games. And now those W's I've erased off the board. And, you know, those are question marks. So short week. They already have started work on the Steelers. In fact, they started it last night. The coaching staff did. The players this morning went in and got their brief, if you will, and they'll be on the practice field Tuesday, Wednesday, final kind of preparations off the field, because they're not going to practice. Then they got to play the game Thursday night. So it's a big game, because if the Browns can win it, I think they'll beat the Dolphins. That means it's three in a row, and you then set up the game of the season, potentially December 1 at Pittsburgh, with a chance to get back to 500. At 6-6, but before you could even have any of those type of thoughts, you got to handle your business Thursday night. And you know, as they play each one of these games, it becomes the biggest game of the year as they try and claw their way back into the playoff picture. But I'm of the belief they dug the hole too deep. They lost too many games early, and they're going to be home for a 17th straight year in January.
Darrell, I was at the stadium yesterday, and I saw Baker's reaction on the sideline to throwing that game-winning, ultimately that game-winning touchdown. Do you think that the way that they were able to win that game against Buffalo yesterday was a turning point for Baker? Was it a way to get a monkey off of his back, or at least now he could say, you know, some of that poor play was behind me, and we can look forward again, and you know, I've got this come-from-behind win on my resume this season?
Well, I thought the game at Baltimore was a turning point, when they just absolutely took the Ravens to the woodshed. And good call by me. you know, he registered his highest quarterback rating, 102.7. His previous was 102.4 in Baltimore. I think a couple of things. I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, he's the only quarterback to throw two touchdowns against the Bills this season. Mm-hmm. And also, now he has two straight games where he's not thrown an interception. So I think that those are two very, very important things. I'm not willing to say it's a turning point for Baker, but it's good to see that he has played well in a game against a really good defense in the Buffalo Bills. And it kind of gives me hope for Thursday night, because he's going to face another really good defense in the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Darrell, just get your perspective from the outside, looking at this Buffalo Bills team. And as you could imagine, our station today, a lot of blame. You could blame the coach. You could blame the defense. You could blame the offensive coordinator for giving Devin Singletary 8 snaps. You can blame Josh Allen for not being at where he's supposed to be. You can blame the kicker. Who would you blame the most?
For the Bills loss? I would probably say Josh Allen, because I don't think he played particularly well yesterday. You know, the numbers look okay, but I think he could have been better. Certainly could have been more accurate with some of his passes, and especially late in the game. They had a chance to tie that game, and they couldn't get close enough. And I'll be perfectly honest with you, the moment they set up for that first of all, when they had to blow their final timeout, I figured they were going to just go ahead and kick the field goal, because you're flirting with disaster when you're less than 30 seconds left, and you're trying to inch closer and closer. So the fact that they had to burn that timeout in that situation and not go ahead and run another play on fourth down there to try and pick up the first down and get closer, as soon as they sent the kicking unit on, I knew the Browns had won because you just don't kick 53-yard field goals into the dog pound at First Energy Stadium. It's similar to the open end at Heinz Field. I mean, it is one of the worst stadiums to kick in the NFL when the wind is blowing. And in fact, I saw a statistic today posted by one of the Browns writers for their team website about that end of First Energy Stadium. Field goals just 2 for 5 this year, extra point 9 of 13 into the dog pound. So that was a very tough situation to kick in, let alone try a 53-yard field goal.
Well, break down that, because I think that's really interesting. I mean, he was there, and I remember thinking to myself while he's lining up for the kick, well, at least it's not that windy, but down in the field, is it different? Because the flags at the goalposts were pretty still. Right? As
never read the flags at the goalposts.
Okay, this is what I wanted to know. Yeah, tell me about this.
Yeah. I have this knowledge thanks to former Browns kicker Phil Dawson, who was here for almost 15 years, and he would always and as you recall, one of the greatest games ever played in NFL history was the great Snow Bowl of 2007 between the Browns and Bills, which the Browns won 8-0.
Yeah.
Phil Dawson hit that memorable going west. Phil Dawson hit that memorable 49-yard boomerang shot that he kicked it like the width of the upright outside of the left upright, and it came back and skidded over the crossbar and through. And the reason why, there's a flag on the southwest end of the stadium. There's a flagpole that was put in, and it's called the Dawson flagpole. And he had that put in because it helped him read the wind that day. And you can't read the wind by looking at the tails on the top of the upright at First Energy Stadium. That is fool's gold to look at those and, oh, there's no wind. Uh-uh. You got to look at that Dawson flagpole to see what it's doing. And if that thing's moving, that means that you've got to alter your calculations. And he was a mad scientist when it came to kicking at First Energy Stadium. It really was a home field advantage for him. He kept a diary, every kick, the weather conditions, the distance, just incredible documentation. So that's why, like I said, as soon as the field goal unit went out for that 53-yarder, I started writing like a madman because I had a pretty good feeling that there was no chance in you know where that kick was going to make it through the goalposts.
Gosh, and we're all kind of zeroing in too. Sean McDermott talking about playing for the tie. You were at Cleveland's 41-yard line with 1 minute remaining and one timeout. Are we right to second guess, hey, maybe you want to be a little more aggressive here and maybe, just maybe, take a shot or two at the end zone if you can pick up some yards, Darryl?
Well, I don't know about taking a shot at the end zone, but I mean, you absolutely needed to get, I would say, to the Browns 30 to feel really good about a kick, because that's a 48-yard boot. And that's makeable in that stadium. That's certainly makeable, but not easy, of course. In fact, Austin Seibert, remember, after the Jarvis Landry taunting penalty, I believe his PAT attempt was from 48 after that penalty,
yeah,
and he missed it. Yep. He didn't make it. So, and that was going into the same direction. So, yeah, I would say that the criticism there as far as you're above a minute, ball at the 41, you got a timeout in your pocket. Yeah, you needed to be a little more aggressive and get as close as humanly possible on that end of the field to kick a field goal there. Like I said, I think 45 yards away would be probably the most comfortable I would be in that end of the stadium trying to kick it. If you're a visitor, if you're Austin Seibert, you've done your homework and you know the stadium, I probably let him try and kick a 50-yarder. But when you're a visitor and you're just not used to kicking in that building and in those, that type of weather conditions next to the lake, I think that I'd want to get as close as humanly possible and be as aggressive as I can to do it.
Darryl, you mentioned the play of Josh Allen yesterday, the deficiencies of Josh Allen yesterday. I was surprised that they kept testing Denzel Ward. And I'm just curious, what kind of a year has he been having? It seemed like that wasn't the guy in the Browns secondary that you wanted to try and throw against.
You know, it's funny you would say something like that because he had been struggling earlier in the year, and you're right. What's nice about the Browns is him and Greedy Williams, they've got a couple of really nice young corners, and Denzel made the Pro Bowl a year ago, but he's not off to the type of start that, you know, obviously he would like. He missed a couple of games as well with a hamstring injury. So did Greedy Williams, as a matter of fact, and that was a bit frustrating. But, yeah, you know, pick your poison in that Brown secondary. They've got two guys that can play in the elite level. They just have to go out there and do it. That's, I think, kind of been, you know, the problem. And from Cleveland's perspective, it was great to see Denzel Ward play as well as he did. And I picked up on that, too. And I'm not going to lie, I was a little amused by that.
As we wrap up with Daryl Ryder, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. So I think we had you on last time. I asked you a similar question, but things change, as you know. Freddie Kitchens, what does he have to do to keep his job here, Daryl? 8-8, is that enough?
Yeah, I don't know what the number is, but he needs to start winning some games in bulk. That's for sure. That was a big one yesterday, because if he didn't win that one, and we're talking about a 2-7 football team, not only the calls on my station here in Cleveland, but just the overall feeling of Browns ownership, I can't imagine would have been very positive after that. I think that if they were to make a change, they would have waited till after the Pittsburgh game anyway. But I think that he might have, with that win, bought himself more time. But like I said, he's going to have to continue to win some football games here to kind of cool off the hot seat a little bit, because it was my understanding it was starting to heat up, and had that been a loss yesterday, it would have gotten a lot hotter.
Man, imagine that being a loss for Cleveland. All we'd be talking about today is the goal line stand. That's all we would be discussing
Absolutely.
Today was the goal line stand. And a win is one hell of a deodorant for a guy like Freddie Kitchens, who might have been feeling a little bit heat for his job. Daryl, it is great having you on with us. We always appreciate when you can give us some of your time, and appreciate all the work you're doing there at 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Talk to you again soon. All right, bud?
Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Radio.com sister station, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. That's Daryl Ryder, one of our regulars, joining us here on the Sports Bar to recap yesterday's ugly loss for the Buffalo Bills.
And hopefully that makes you a smarter football fan, because I learned something just now about the Dawson flag. Do you think Sean McDermott, defensive coordinator, knew about the Dawson flag?
You mentioned Phil Dawson. You know, Phil Dawson keeping a journal of every kick and every direction of the wind and every... Yeah, I'm sure the guy that you invested millions in Buffalo is doing the exact same thing. I'm sure every kicker in the NFL does the same kind of homework. Please. Yeah, you know what? This Chicago Bears fan thinks kickers should be abolished from the NFL. Who needs them? Who needs a kicker? Get out of here.
Okay, he makes the kick. They still probably lose that game, right? Or is this just end up a 19-19 tie and we're all blah today? Yeah, I don't know with the way the Bills... I don't know if the Bills' defense can come up with another
Ultimately,
stop.
Ultimately, you needed your defense to come up with a stop, and they weren't able to give you that stop. And look, give Baker credit where it's due. Give Jarvis Landry credit. I mean, Bills fans... I think every Bills fan has that Jarvis Landry hit on Aaron Williams etched in their memory forever and just want to label him a dirty player. Like, I don't know that that's dirty, one, and two... I want my guys.
No. That's dirty with a capital D.
Here's what I want. I don't want my players to knock guys out of games. And I said this about the Sabres earlier. I just want a little bit of an edge. Play with a little bit of an edge so that there's a fear that if you're going to come across the field, you might get hit. And he's always had that edge. He's always played with an edge. I like that guy. You would like that guy if he was in a Bills uniform. You would. Anybody would.
I want Jerry Hughes when he was taking the 15-yard penalties every once in a while, because Jerry Hughes, when he was that active, seemed like he'd make more plays. The one play got called back yesterday.
That one play. Hey, listen, every Bills fan in that stadium, and there were a lot of Bills fans in that stadium, thought that that was it. That was the play. And then we all kind of realized, oh, crap, forward pass. Because initially... You couldn't really tell if it was a forward pass or a fumble.
On TV, you knew it right away.
Right.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Like, I think there have been plays, other plays, very similar to that, that haven't been called forward passes, that have been called fumbles. It's a weird rule. I don't know that they're going to address it. I don't know that I want them to address it, by the way, because, like, do we need more rules in the NFL? But, yeah, that would have been the play. That would have been the play. That would have iced it. Good stuff from Daryl Ryder from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. our sister station. You can check out his work at radio.com and the radio.com app as well. Let's get to NFL appetizers next in the sports bar. It's brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place. Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com.
Well, I mean, the Bills loss was bad. What happened to the Saints yesterday? My goodness, the Giants yesterday losing to a one-win Jet team. Nice going there. We'll dive into the Steelers a little bit more as they get the short week preparing for Cleveland, some quarterback news out of Washington, and a former first-round pick leaves us, gone way, way too young.
All right, let's get to NFL appetizers next. The Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia, ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.